I got to talk to Danny for just a moment. I was sitting up here just a little bit, how would you call it? Maybe depressed, I don't know if that's the word. I was very anxious over Sunday school, felt like I had done a cardinal rule against preaching and teaching by overloading, overwhelming. You can just give out so much information that none of it sticks. And I was just feeling that way and kind of feeling sorry for myself a little bit. Any of you ever do that? And so if I'm preaching on that today, then I'm preaching myself. But anyways, Danny was asked to pray, and you said a couple words, and that I cried because it was so good. He says, and talked about, and I know it came from the song, he says, what a friend we have in Jesus. And the way you said that, Danny, I know you were praying, but God used that to speak to my heart. I thank you. Amen. Chad mentioned our girls yesterday who went for volleyball. The others that did not go, they stayed here and painted lines. I was just so thrilled with our young people yesterday, not just girls, but there were some guys in on the painting that was out there. And appreciate the busings. They were there with Jeff and Teresa, and they got busy out there. Didn't it look nice? How many actually parked between them? Can you honestly say I did? Okay. You may not know this, but there are some, for you who drive trucks, the ones up against the building over there are bigger stalls. Now you and little cars are going to run in there first because you don't want it anyways. But seriously, it was such a blessing to see all that take place. And yesterday, as I was in my office, I was thinking, my goodness, God's working and using people. They're down in Kansas City, wherever that place is, Manhattan. Isn't that near Kansas City? Oh, really? And so you had a long drive?
3 hours, but we were in a bad neighborhood.
Oh, I'm sorry. Anyways, that, and then they was out here doing all that work. And here was a miracle yesterday. How many saw the big clouds come in? Some of you might have got rained on, I don't know. We were looking, I thought, man alive, these guys are going to get poured upon, and the rain's going to just, we're going to have lines going everywhere out there. And I walked out once, and there was these big drops, but they were about every 6-8 inches, and they were still out there painting. And I'm thinking, I hope this dries before this really hits us. And you know, it went just north of us. And so God allowed their work to remain. So I think he had a reason for that. So, amen. Philemon this morning, please. Book of Philemon. It's been a couple years since Brother Joel Sturtz has been in our church. He will be with us next Sunday. You should have heard Jeff this morning because he was imitating him really good. He's got some funny mannerisms about him, but I'll tell you what, the guy knows the word and he's got a great heart. So I hope that it'll be a blessing to you next week. There's only one chapter in Philemon if you haven't discovered that. We're going to be in chapter 1. If you're not in that chapter, I don't know what book you're in. I want to read verses 1 down to verse number 7 this morning. And there's a few things here that I believe are very noteworthy that I believe God has us to look at today. It says, Paul, a prisoner of Jesus Christ, and Timothy, our brother, unto Philemon, our dearly beloved and fellow laborer, and to our beloved Aphaia, and Archippus, our fellow soldier, and to the church in thy house. Grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. I thank my God, making mention of thee always in my prayers, hearing of thy love, and faith which thou hast toward the Lord Jesus and toward all saints, that the communication of thy faith may become effectual by the acknowledging of every good thing which is in you in Christ Jesus. For we have great joy and consolation in thy love, because of the bowels of the saints are refreshed by thee, brother. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, thank you so much. We can be in the house of the Lord this morning. Lord, we pray that you would just work marvelously in hearts. And we pray for, if there be one here without Christ, it be a day that they come to know Him. I pray today for Christians, some no doubt suffering some great needs, perhaps physically, perhaps financially, perhaps emotionally. Lord, I do know that we are all needy some way or another. And so we ask, Spirit of God, that You would move upon our hearts and do a work as only You can do. We know that it's not the preacher. We know it's not necessarily the preaching, but we do know it's the message of that preaching, the message of the preacher that You can use and You can propagate in the hearts of Your people. We ask for Your blessing in Christ's name. Amen. The main purpose of this very short epistle is simply to ask Philemon to receive his runaway servant or slave back again. We find that Onesimus had run away from Philemon. And he ran away, and we find something very interesting about that, and that is that he found himself in prison with the Apostle Paul. And the Apostle Paul spent a lot of time, it seems, in prison for preaching the Lord Jesus Christ. And we find that he leads him to Christ. And so because of the situation of the day and because of slavery being accepted and all these things, he felt as though that he ought to send him back to his owner, that their thing might be reconciled between them. And so he writes this epistle to him. And let me go a little bit farther and read to you verse number 8. Notice what he says, "Wherefore, though I might be much bold in Christ to enjoin thee that which is convenient, yet for love's sake I rather beseech thee, being such an one as Paul the aged, and now also a prisoner of Jesus Christ, I beseech thee for my son Onesimus, whom I have begotten in my bonds, which in time past was to thee unprofitable, but now profitable to thee and to me, whom I have sent again. Thou therefore receive him, that is, mine own bowels, whom I would have retained with me, that in thy stead he might have ministered unto me in the bonds of the gospel. For without thy mind would I do nothing, that thy benefit should not be as if it were of necessity, but willingly. For perhaps he therefore departed for a season, thou shouldest receive him forever, not now as a servant, but above a servant, a brother beloved, especially to me, but how much more unto thee, both in the flesh and the Lord. If thou count me therefore a partner, receive him as myself." What a beautiful, marvelous story we have. Let's pray. Once again, oh God, we need You. We need Your Spirit of God to move upon our hearts. As we've read these verses, perhaps they do not have the meaning that they ought to, but oh God, that You might project that, that You might receive the glory from it, we ask. Amen. You and I might be in some dire circumstances and still be in the very center of God's will. We might be going through some things that are very, very, very difficult and yet be right where God wants us to be. I never understood that as fully as I did 2 years ago as I lay in the hospital for those 111 days. I wish I could forget the number. But during that time, God gave me some opportunities I had never had in my life. It was opportunities to minister to so many different people. Though I lay in a bed, I didn't have to go to them. They came to me. I found that there were two ways I could get people to come to me. One, you push this little light, and after a while, somebody says, "What do you want?" "I need help." And somebody would come in after a while, and sometimes they say yes, sometimes they actually would say no to me, but nonetheless, I had them come. I learned something else when I couldn't get them very fast, and that was to take the breathing tube out. Because that little thing, it set off alarms somewhere, and they would come faster. I'm just giving you some tips when you get in the hospital. And you said, "Did I do that on purpose?" Yeah, I did that on purpose. And I found that little thing they put on your finger that has an oxygen sensor. Yeah, pull that off, and they're there even faster. And I didn't like it anyway, so that was easy to do. They started taping it on me, but I figured out how to get it untaped. But being in that spot, I believe I was right where God wanted me to be. Being able to see God do some things and to understand, though I was weak, He was strong. Before he mentions his request to Philemon, before he gets to that, we read the first seven verses, and we find though he is in these circumstances, God has allowed him to lead this slave fella to the Lord. And through that, he also is taught him he needs to go back and make things right from whence he came. And oftentimes that's very difficult. But when somebody really gets saved, they want to make things right with other people as well. And so he's taught him these things. And along with that, he is writing this letter of introduction so that Philemon might understand what took place. But before he mentions all of this request, he divulges something that I find very interesting, and that is how he prays for him. Notice verse number 4 once again. I thank my God, making mention of thee, how often? Always in my prayers, hearing of thy love and faith, which thou hast toward the Lord Jesus Christ and toward all the saints. He says, because I'm hearing these things, he says, this is what I'm praying. He said that the communication of thy faith may become effectual by the acknowledging of every good thing which is in you in Christ Jesus. He knows he has a good testimony, and so he prays. And what does he ask? He asks God to make his testimony effectual. Do you want to have an effect upon people? Do you want to be able to reach somebody for Christ? Listen, God is the one who enables us to do that. And so Paul is praying and saying, Lord, make him effectual. And then in very simple fashion, he unveils to him how to be effective. And here's where I want us to focus today in verse number 6. He says, here is how this is done. If we really look at this prayer, he says that the communication of thy faith may become effectual. How? By the acknowledging of every good thing which is in you in Christ Jesus. How do we become effective? Acknowledging the work of Christ in us. It's a revelation to others that whatever is good in your life comes from God. By the way, they're not going to know that unless you tell them that. And so it's a matter we begin to talk about the things of God and the great things that He has done. I think of some of the good things. The first that you might look at and you say, this is a good thing. Oh, yes, it's a very good thing. We stop and consider. Because one of the good things that He has revealed to us is the very purpose of the law of God. In the book of Romans chapter 3, he says, therefore by the deeds of the law there shall no flesh be justified in his sight, for by the law is the knowledge of sin. If you get around people, of course we're not so much in a Christian era anymore in our country, it's more pagan, but you ask people, how do you get to heaven? Most will tell you, if they have an idea at all, is that they've got to do this, 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 and this in order to get to heaven. They have the idea that they've got to do something that God would be pleased with, that they might be accepted into heaven. What they fail to understand is that all of our works of righteousness, according to Isaiah, are as filthy rags. And so we have nothing really to offer to God of ourselves. And so what we find here is the law of God is something that really shows to you and me we cannot do it ourselves. By the deeds of the law shall no flesh be justified in his sight, for by the law is the knowledge of sin. Therefore implies that there is a judicial trial that has taken place and judgment has been pronounced. At the bar of God, no man can be counted righteous in his sight because he's been obedient to the law. There's a reason for that. There's none that are righteous. There's none that have been obedient. There's one thing I do know. I have job security. We never run out of sinners. Isn't that true? They're everywhere. And we are ones ourselves. And what we need to understand is we can reveal something wonderful took place in our life, and that is that the law of God showed me who I was. The law can open a sinner's eyes to his sin. It cannot remove it. It was never intended to remove it, but to intensify it in our lives. I remember one time I asked a fella, how do you know you're going to heaven? He says, because I keep the Ten Commandments and I obey the Sermon on the Mount. I thought, oh my goodness. You've done all those Ten Commandments. You've obeyed every one of them. You've gone to the Sermon on the Mount where Jesus said that even if you look on a woman with lust, you've committed adultery. He's intensified it even more, and you're claiming that as your means of salvation? What a fool! But that be true of so many lives. What do they need to hear? That we understood the purpose of the law, and that is that we are guilty before God. It is God's gift to us, we stop and think about it, that we may know we have no way to be perpetually obedient to it. Even as Christians, we find ourselves not able to do what we want to do all the time because we try to do it in the power of our flesh. It doesn't work. And so we need to communicate this to others by quickly acknowledging that we are sinners saved by grace. I think on the practical side, deep-seated apologies for things that we have done wrong in other people's lives can be of help in this acknowledgement of our sin. Because no doubt our sin has been what? Not effectual for the purpose of God, but effectual in causing divisions and problems and heartaches. And so we can come and say, brother or sister, well, he might not be a brother in Christ, but listen, I'm sorry for the things I've done. How it can speak tremendous volumes to those. How can we acknowledge every good thing? Acknowledge the work of grace that overcame the law of God that showed us that we were sinners. I believe we need to acknowledge His goodness continuously. This is especially true in adverse situations. There's a time when people can see God working in your life and in mine more than any other time, and that is when we are in difficulties. And when we're going through difficulties and we're trusting God through it, people see that. And when we can make remarks that say, God is good, when it seems like God is not good and it looks like God is against us, yet like Job, I'm not going to deny Him. And I know that He has something here. And it speaks to hearts of others. There's an area in our lives, I believe, that you and I can be very guilty of. And we convey unto others that God is not good when we complain. When we complain. Complaining about anything is telling others you don't see God's goodness. I mean, think about it. To complain about anything. We become whiners, oh my goodness, and complainers and murmurers, and it never, ever speaks to the goodness of God. It's basically saying, please feel sorry for me. I believe also, as we can communicate His goodness continuously, it's by having, rather than a complainative attitude, a positive attitude. A positive attitude. Don't you like to be around people who just always looking up? Don't you like to be around people who are always positive and they're ready to go? I know in this church we have a lot of Nebraska football fans. And there are a couple Hawkeye fans here. They're kind of outnumbered, I think. And, of course, most of you know that just recently that Nebraska got a new football coach. And, of course, we also know he was a quarterback during some of the glory days of their football team. And so we have this fellow by the name of Frost. There's something that is very intriguing to me about him. What's his first name anyway? Scott. There's something very intriguing about Scott Frost to me. I have never seen him without a positive attitude. I'm sure that there's times like that, but for the most part, hey, we're going to do this. We're going to do this. We're building and we're strengthening. We're going to get there. And what does that do? That instills that into those boys that are out there in those pads. And it tells them, hey, we can do it and we can go. Positive attitude is a tremendous thing on the football field, but I believe in life. If we're going to acknowledge the goodness of God to those round about us, we need to have that positive attitude that speaks volumes to people. They don't even have to be words. Used to be a lady in our church. She sat right down here. Normally sit just about where you're sitting at there. I want to call you Princess this morning. I don't know why, because your dad calls you Princess all the time. He don't call your mom the Queen, does she? Okay. By the way, you did a tremendous job last week. I appreciate it. What was I going to say anyways? I don't have senior moments. I have senior days. My wife says, I forgot that. I thought, so? I already forgot it too. By the way, there's some good things to forget. Amen. But there was a lady who sat there. I forgot her name at the moment. Lavina. And Lavina would come into church, and I'd be standing back there, and she'd walk up to me and says, smile. I'd be done with it. She normally didn't come to Sunday school, I don't believe. She'd come in, and she'd look at me, and I was kind of whatever. And I didn't really have a big smile on my face. I can feel like smiles on the inside not show up on the outside. Any of you folks like that? And I feel like it is real big, but it doesn't show like it should. I guess I grew up believing I was a poker player and I had to have that somber face all the time. Praise God, I never got into poker. Amen. By the way, if you want to go to the casinos and play, we got a little round can out there in the front yard. Throw your money in there and you don't have to go down there and waste it down there. Anyways, you know what she began doing? I mean, every Sunday she comes and said, smile. I thought, man, is it looking that bad? I'm a Christian, I'm a pastor. And you know, I ought to sometimes, you know, look like I'm somewhat happy. You know what I started doing when I seen her? Huh? You know what I did? I would see her walking up to the door, I'd start singing. Because when I started singing, I'd have a nice look on my face. What a day that will be when my Jesus I shall see. Amen? How can you sing that and be sad? Okay. So I was singing a song whenever she came in. And, you know, yeah, there's some people walk in and I sing this song. When the storm passes over. But you know what I'm getting at? You and I need to convey to those folks that are around about us the goodness of God. And so often we, rather than having a positive attitude, God has something awaiting me, God has done this, God is doing that, we're so often in this complainative mode about how horrible this, how horrible that is. By the way, we get on the jobs, and what do most people do on the job? Yeah, it's like gripe heaven when you get to work. When I worked for the truck lines, we started the church way back in 1973. I was working for a company called, what was it called? American, All American Truck Lines. I always called it All American Airlines, but it's truck lines. And there was a guy I worked with. Well, he always called him the pig farmer because he was a farmer, just a small farmer, and he raised pigs. And by the way, he taught me a whole lot of things about finances and so forth, but nonetheless, he'd do something really crazy. Every night, you know what he'd do? There was everybody. He'd just go to somebody and he'd say, "Did you hear?" And he'd come up with some lame brain idea, you know, that half the workers on the dock were going to be fired that night. And one night I was working the trailer right next to him, and all of a sudden I heard him just laughing so loud, and I went over and said, "What in the world is going on? What's so funny?" He said, "I just got my story back." And he said, "It's not just some of them. The whole place is shutting down." And they would gripe about the foreman. They'd gripe about the loads they had to unload and the loads they had to load. They'd gripe about this, that, whatever it was. That happens on the job, does it not? It don't matter if you're in an office. Doesn't matter if you're out, on the ditch digging crew. It doesn't matter. There's so much complaining. Listen, you and I, we ought not be involved in that. Thank God you've got a job, amen? Thank God you got a foreman that tells you what to do. You may not like it. But by the way, if you're following Scripture, you also know that God's placed him there for a reason. What's he telling Philemon? In his prayer, he's asking God to make him effectual. How can he be effectual? Convey to all those round about him the goodness of God. What he's done for you. What he's done for you. A while ago, we sang, "Count your many blessings. Name them one by one." And so often we don't do that. We count our curses. Are there problems? Yes. But when we start seeing problems as that which is coming from God for our good, we start recognizing that whatever has come our direction is for our good. We start conveying that to a lost and dying world, it's going to speak volumes and make you an effectual witness. Why is it that people don't listen to us? We're too prone to communicate to them that we don't believe God is good. It destroys our testimony. He is good. Thank God if you got a family. Well, you don't know how army my brother and sister are, but they're yours. By the way, if you think they're bad, what do you think they think about you? God's given you a gift. By the way, to help your relationship with them, if you start seeing it that way. husbands and wives. You know what? You can look at your husband, you can look at your wife, and you can see 1,000 things they've done wrong. Guys, don't shake your heads right now. Your wife's sitting there. You may get an elbow. Wives, you also know that he's done and can do a lot of things. Just aggravate the fire out of you. But thank God for them. Thank God for who they are. The good things that are there. Amen. Yeah. But what we do so often, we complain. It's one of the things sometimes churches even do. They complain. They complain about other members. They complain about the pastor. They complain about this. They complain about that. Thank God for what is there. Let me back up just a moment. The thought just came to me because I've seen it so often. Many times complain about churches, people who are complaining about something they ought to be doing themselves. Almost without fail. Because if God showed you something is wrong, there's dirt on the floor, there's a piece of paper that needs to be picked up, then if God showed it to you, evidently God has just given you a ministry. And it's not of complaint. Amen? Yeah. What does he tell us? If you want your testimony to be effectual, Paul, in his prayer for Philemon, has given us a tremendous key. Acknowledge the goodness of God. How often? All the time. All the time. In everything. When opportunity arises and when it doesn't. In all things. Let's project the goodness of God. Did he save your soul? Amen. Did he convict you of your sin? Yeah. Amen. Does he show you what's wrong with you right now? Yeah. Amen. Does he spank you from time to time? Or most of the time? Amen. For whom the Lord loveth, he... Those are love taps, brethren. Let's convey that. Amen. This world needs to hear that kind of voice. The goodness of God. I have learned, it doesn't matter who's there, but lost people, when I start talking about this good thing or that good thing happened at church, they're listening. Because you know what? Most people didn't know good things happened at church. They think the verse, he that endureth to the end shall be saved, means you've got through a whole service. We've got a testimony. Let's make it effectual. How? Convey the goodness of God. Convey it. By the way, maybe that's what happened that night in Philippi when Paul and Silas are bound and chained inside of a prison. And rather than complain and gripe, what were they doing? They were singing praises to God. What happened to the jailer? He wanted what they had. Because the place of need they were in, when that earthquake hit, he was in the same place. If he'd have lost any of those prisoners, they'd have killed him. Not the prisoners, the Roman government, for losing them. And he wanted what they had. Your testimony can be effectual. Consider the marvelous goodness of God. You've got all kinds of things you can relay. If you're saved today, you've got many, many things you can relay. Amen. And by the way, if you're not saved, I don't know what you have. Because all things don't work together for good to you. Your eternal home is not heaven. You have not a hope within. Your happiness is moment by moment. And most moments it isn't. But God can save your soul. Let's pray. If you'd stand first, please. Father, today we are so guilty of not projecting the goodness of God. Through our attitudes and our words so often, rather than glorifying you, we are complaining of our situations and circumstances and all the things about us, and we wonder why people don't listen. God, work in our hearts in this area. Tenderize us. Help us to see your goodness like never before. Help us to see, oh God, what a friend we have in Jesus. Lord, work in hearts in these moments, I pray.